Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Bless and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everyone, where we believe that life is worth living and living out aloud. I am your host, Rev J, and I am so excited that you guys have tuned in tonight. Well, if you've been following us on social media, you are aware that we are in the midst of our guilt and shame series. So this topic is something that's hitting a lot of our listeners and a lot of our followers, and we want to make sure we're giving it its full due diligence. And so, yes, I'm excited that you've tuned in. I guarantee it's going to be at least a couple of nuggets for you to take with you as we talk about guilt and shame. And why one of the main reasons we're doing this is because guilt and shame are two emotional baggage that people just drag along with them throughout life. And sometimes we wonder, why are we so weary? Why are we so tired? Why are we so this and not able to focus? It's mainly because of the emotional baggage that we're carrying with us. Yes, it can be the foods that we're eating. Yes, that has a part to play with it. Yes, it can be the fact that we're not sleeping well. That has a part to play with it. But when your emotions are out of whack, when you are emotionally drained, when you are dealing with a lot of things at one time, but you're not really completing or really dealing with issues, like you're kind of dancing around them, all of that plays a part in how you feel the next day or how you present yourself for the day. And sometimes we're conscious of the things that we're doing, and sometimes we're not very conscious. But, you know, maybe I am carrying around something I don't need to be carrying. Or, you know what, I've just been so strong for so long, you know, I'm used to carrying all of these things. And what would life actually look like if I was free, if I didn't have to carry around this guilt and shame, if I would label myself differently, if I would see things in a different way? And so we want to help and aid listeners and followers to unpack and maybe even to lay down or maybe even to leave behind these bags of guilt and shame. So tonight the series is more so on forgiveness, because that does go with guilt and shame. Why is, you know, the baggage of, oh, what was me? I did this. I did that. I just feel guilty for it. Shame is more so, I am this. I am that. And so we place this on ourselves. And you may feel shame for something you've done in your life, but you are not beyond forgiveness. That's one area that I really want to hit on is that, so yes, we're going to talk about forgiving other people, but what about if you're the person that you have to forgive? What about if you're the person who you're carrying around for you so much so that you're almost wearing it as a label? So let's say maybe 5 weeks ago, 5 years ago, 5 months ago, sometime in your past you did something really shady, something really dirty, something that caused, you know, something where the ripple effects were felt by other people. Last week our guest, Mr. Thomas, he spoke on accountability towards the end of the show. When there's an issue in your life and you know, because we know ourselves, and you know that you need to ask for forgiveness or you need to seek forgiveness from someone else, it's very important that you do that. It's very important that you have a conversation with yourself first and be accountable to yourself. And then it's very important that you go to that other person and not with, like, the blanket statement, you know, well, if I've ever done anything wrong ever in life, I just hope that you forgive me. I pray that you forgive me for whatever I've done. Yeah, that's not good enough. It has to be, because you're not emotionally there. They're not going to receive that the same way as if you say, you know what, Tim, Tom, Tina, whatever the person's name is, when I slept with your boyfriend, I was out of order. I was wrong. I see my role in that, and I'm coming to you as an adult saying, you know what, can you please forgive me? Then it's up to the other person what they want to do with that information. Then you've not freed yourself from the consequences of your negative choice, but you've at least open the door for forgiveness and the freedom that that brings from the relationship, especially because it really hurts when it's someone who's close to you or someone who's in your circle who does something that's negative or out of character. And so you know that your actions have caused hurt, and you may not be aware how deep that hurt is. And, you know, it may not have been 5 weeks ago. It may even have been 15 years ago. But when other people are caught up in the ripple effects of your actions or inactions, that pain they may still be carrying with them. And so you now, now that you have knowledge of it, full knowledge of it, you need to make amends with yourself because, one, when we know better, we do better. And then you need to make amends as much as possible, as much as you humanly can with the other person. They may not be in a place where they can forgive you. I remember maybe 3-4 months ago, I saw this clip from the show called Survivor's Remorse. And there was a father on the show who wanted to come back into the son's life. Some kind of way he got in contact with the son. They obviously had a strange relationship. When he got in contact with the son, he was like, can we just meet? During their meeting in the public place, he was like, look, as part of my treatment plan, you know, I need to go back to those I've wronged, and I need to confess and you know, just kind of be accountable for what I did when I was in that place in my life. The son was not in a place where he was ready to hear it, to receive it, or really to, you know, I don't know, to really process what that looks like. What does a relationship look like now if I forgive you for all the years of hurt and pain that I've been carrying? And so he was not in a place where he can, where he was able to receive it or hear it. Oftentimes we have those situations that we feel justified in our feelings of, I don't want to forgive X, Y, and Z. I don't want to forgive this. But here's the thing. As precious as life is, it's not, this life as we know, it's not forever. There will be some sort of transition. I don't, you know, I'm not going to get into all the different ways that people transition or die or pass or however you want to say it. But that day is coming for each of us. And what you don't want, or I would hope that you don't want, is for your last conversation with someone to be one of those of daggers, of pain, of hurt. And even if you cannot receive someone's apology right then, don't leave one, especially if they are a loved one. And the only reason it hurts so deep is if it's someone you love that deep, I promise you. But do not leave the ones you love on a negative tone, because we don't know what a last conversation is. We don't know what that last conversation looks like. And one of the last things you want to do is be that loud person at the funeral because you're filled with all the remorse of the shoulda, woulda, coulda's, but didn't. Did he know that I love him? Did he know that I care? Does he know how I really feel? Like, that was just my anger, because remember, we've talked about that before. Anger is a front emotion, and it shields what's really going on in the background of our mind. What we choose to exhibit may be the anger, but it's really the hurt child within us putting up a wall of defense. But that's a whole nother episode. So backtracking, when you come to a place where you realize that there's a rift in a relationship, you need to, one, be real with yourself. Okay, so I was this. And it may have been some years ago, or maybe it may have been some months ago, and mentally you were in a different place. And it's okay to say that. It is okay to acknowledge that you were who you were, and now you are who you are. It's okay. See, sometimes we want to be on this trip of, you know what, I'm the same person. Well, if over time you are not growing and expanding, something is wrong. We say here, life is worth living and living out loud. And my loud at 40 may not be my same loud at 20, because I know at 20 I was a little more energetic and adventurous. And, hey, let's try this. And at 39 and holding, you know, my loud is something different. And so if we're the same person we were 20 years ago, that may be an issue we want to also reflect on and be like, hey, why am I the same person? Has this really benefited or served me? But here's the thing. If we're a person who's come to ourselves and then realize, you know what, I have wronged someone, I should really go back and say what I need to say to that person to attempt to make amends, that's a big big, big, big monumentous thing to building and repairing emotional relationships, and someone who is emotionally deteriorated and someone who's carrying emotional baggage, you may free them in ways you may not understand. Even if you get that anger as a front emotion from that person, you have planted a seed that can only grow and multiply in that person's deepest and darkest areas of their life. Do not forsake, or do not think, oh, it won't mean anything to them, or da, da, da. Your words have power. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the people, the other people who are involved in the ripple effects of your actions. I promise you, and I know this to be true, it is freeing, especially when it's someone you love, someone you care for them to come back and own the role that they played in your emotional pain. It means so much. But then to have someone who you had so much love or respect for, just to act like it never happened, or nothing happened, or their role was minor in your pain. Okay, yeah. That causes hearts to callous over. That causes hurts not to fully heal. And so the next relationship or the next person that even presents some sort of something similar to the first person who caused pain can't even receive, can't even be allowed to enter in the closeness that I had for the first person, because I'm so callous by the second person. Or I'm sorry, because I'm so callous by the first person situation. Case in point. Let's talk about high school love. Let's talk about first love. Let's talk about young love. When you have that young love, it's fresh, and you give everything that you have at that time to that person, your mind, your time, your energy, all of that. Most of the time, those first relationships, that young love is really teachable love. It's really frameable love. It may not be that lasting love, but when you put yourself all the way out there, you're like, yes, this is, I'm a ride or die, I'm this, I'm that, I'm invested, here's my heart, I've written your name on my notebook, so if you're my first name, your last name, we making plans or whatever, what have you, and that situation goes south, you feel some sort of way about that. For a lot of people, they swing like that emotional pendulum. Oh, I hate you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I can't stand you. Oh, I want you. And you have to decide for yourself, you know, am I going to stick it out? Do I deserve better? Yes, I deserve better. And then you have these conversations with yourself going back and forth. But then you might get to this point where you make this promise, I'll never be hurt like that again. I will never allow another person to get that close to me so that they hurt me like that again. That's unfair. That's unfair for the next person or couple people you have in the next few relationships to be held to that. I get it that we have to learn the lesson of, you know, not being so wide open with young love. I get all that. But there has to be a place that's reserved just for that special one, that life partner that you will get, that life partner that will do you right. They deserve the opportunity to at least have an equal playing field. And so when that young love has hurt you and just tore you all the way down emotionally, as you are rebuilding and repairing and allowing that love to heal and allowing your heart to be repaired, do not close yourself wholly off to the possibilities of what new romance will look like and new love will look like. Because I promise you, if you stay genuine to who you are, who is meant to be in your life will find you, will be attracted to you, and it can be an absolutely beautiful thing. But if you shut yourself off based upon past hurts, then you're not in a place to receive all that abundance of love that was meant for you in the first place. You see what I'm saying? So twofold, if you're the person who has offended someone, hurt them, wounded them, whatever, through your actions, intentional, unintentional, this is a great time to own up to that. Even if you don't, sometimes we don't see our role as clear, but if someone has even said to you, hey, when you did X, Y, and Z, that really hurt me. If someone has said that, you need to acknowledge the fact that they've said that, and then you need to see what else needs to be done or what else you can humanly do to help repair that person's viewpoint of view or feelings or emotions about it. Okay, sounds good. Sounds easy? Not easy. Totally get it. It requires lowering of the ego, lowering of the shield, and being emotionally vulnerable. And that's not a place a lot of us are familiar with, nor is it a place a lot of us really want to be. But is it a necessary place for all of us to move forward? It's absolutely necessary. Accountable adults, for you to be accountable for your choices, your decisions, and your actions. Now, mind you, what you knew at 17, what you know at this stage in your life, way more. Hopefully your brain has expanded, your heart has expanded. You now know what it's like to be on the receiving end of such things, and you know that you consciously probably do not want to inflict that feeling or those emotions on anyone else, because some people just spiral downward so harshly, so fastly, and it was because, and when you realize it's because of something you did, just simple humility in that person's presence can turn a whole situation around. Like this, you know, I wouldn't even hold that against him, but he won't even acknowledge the role that he had to play. But, okay. Acknowledge the role you have to play, the role you played, the role that you may have been dealt, your lack of survival skills, your lack of positive coping skills, and how it has affected other people is very important, not just for them, but also for you. And in speaking with a couple of different people on this topic, some people are like, you know, I forgive, but I can't forget. I don't ever want anyone to ever forget the lesson. I always want, you know, I pride myself on the Maya Angelou quote, you know, once people show themselves to you, believe them the first time. It saves us so much, because a lot of the things that we're holding against people is because of our unmet expectations of them. So we're saying, hey, I really thought you were this type of person, but you're showing me you're not. I really want you to be this type of person. Maybe I could change you. And see, that's where you're messing up. It's not on you to change anyone. It's not on you to be the change agent. What really has to happen is there has to be a mental and a heart connection in that person to even have the desire to change, to want to change their habits, to want to change their lifestyle, to want to embrace something different. Because until they reach that point in their life, you're only going to spin your wheels, frustrate yourself, and go nowhere fast. And for real, who wants that? Really, we're all trying to get somewhere. Like those of us who are goal setters, we're trying to get somewhere. Those of us who have children, we're trying to get somewhere. Those of us who are parents, we're trying to get somewhere. It's never about being stagnant and stuck. It's about keeping it moving and moving forward and moving upward. And we can't do that as easily or as freely when we're emotionally bogged down. And so that's one of the things that we do with our clients at Blessed to Know It, is we try to remind people that what all this emotional stuff you're dealing with is really playing a role and spilling over into other areas of your life. You could be so much further right now in your business, in your relationships, in your productivity, if you would learn how to deal with these emotional baggages before they start to spill over into other areas of your life. You ever been to the airport and you see someone rushing and they're running and they're going this place and that place and the other, and all of a sudden their bag breaks or it opens and everything spilled out, and now all their stuff is on Front Street, whatever they had packed, like Unmentionables and Victoria's Secret is now right there on Front Street, or Victor's Secret or somebody else's Secret or their Pleasure Principle, you know, stuff that they had packed away so nice and neat and folded up and rolled up, and they thought no one else was going to see it. But through their rushing and going here, there, and everywhere and trying to handle the business or whatever they were trying to do, now all of their stuff is out there for total strangers to see. And people are seeing stuff that's not meant for them to see. That's how it is when we go into work and all of a sudden they say that, like, they may be having a surprise party or a pitch or a song comes on the radio and you start to bawling or crying or whining or fussing, and the people are like, what the heck is going on with her? That is not even how Tasha usually acts. What is this? That is the emotional baggage. That's the stuff that if you work with a life coach on a consistent and regular basis over a period of time, we can deal with, so it's not on Front Street in front of everybody, and your productivity can increase, and your energy can increase, and your stress can decrease, and you can move forward in life, not just swinging from emotion to emotion, but with a clear cut plan of action for your life. Okay, so what if someone does come to you and they want forgiveness? They're seeking it. They're looking at like, hey, you know what? X, Y, Z happened. When it happened, I was who I was. I am who I am. They hit you with all of that. But you're at this place like, what? Forgiveness? I don't want to forgive you. Do you know what that did to me? Here's the thing. Our brain knows our thoughts. Of course, they're ours. Our brain knows our voice. Of course, it's ours. Once our brain hears us say certain words, it cannot be erased. Like sometimes other people's words, you know, oh, okay, yeah, so-and-so said it, cool. But once our brain hears us say, those connections cannot be erased. And so then our brain starts to act accordingly. Oh, we're not forgiving them? Okay, cool. We're going to label them as this, that, and the other. It's unforgivable? Cool. Well, let's put them over here in this unforgivable area of the brain. And so let's not even go emotional. Let's just keep it with the neurons and stuff that's going on in our brain and the energy that we have. When we hear this person's name or we feel a certain way in this person's presence, that means somewhere in our brain we're still dealing with, there's still some negativity attached to that. And so what you do is you blocked it off from dealing with it every day, but it's still there. And what we all have to understand is that forgiveness, the decision to let go of the resentment and the thoughts are freeing. So we're not talking about the emotion, we're not talking about tears and crying, we're talking about your actual thoughts. Thoughts are a type of energy. Energy cannot be what? Created or destroyed. It can only be transferred. If we're thinking negatively, what happens in our brain? It's overshadowed with negativity. It's a different type of action and electrical current that happens with the negative. It's, over time, it will block other things from passing through, and it will continue to grow. So now, thoughts that you want to have about something you can't really focus on because this negativity has grown into such a way that it's blocking the passage of the thoughts that you need to be focused on. So it's not letting your positive thoughts or your productivity thoughts or your financial thoughts, they're not getting through and stuff isn't sticking. Why? Because the roadway has been blocked. And you're like, I don't know why I can't focus today. I'm not sure why I'm so foggy this today. You have to check your thinking. You have to check what's actually been buried in those cracks and crevices of your brain. And oftentimes, it is the resentment left over for something that needs to be forgiven. Well, what if I forgive them? Does that mean it didn't exist? Does that person really know the pain that they've caused? That person can be aware if you're in a place where you can communicate that to them. If you can show them with your words, verbally express yourself, which means now you have to become clear and have a conversation with yourself. How did that hurt me? I was in a restaurant about maybe a month ago. And so we're having a conversation. You know, I use words on a regular, consistent basis. Every position that I have to use my words. So therefore, words are my friends. I talk all the time. I talk for a living. I promise you I talk 7 days a week. I promise you I can talk for 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, and be okay with it. Well, the topic came up, and because I had not dealt with the negativity, the resentment that I had on said topic of forgiveness, of even admitting that that situation or that person involved in the situation hurt me, I was not able to talk. It was alarming to me because I'm good with my words. Like, I know what words to say, where to put them. I am very articulate, and I'm very proud of that skill that I've been given. But for me not even to be able to say, this hurt me. And so the people at the table were like, does that hurt you because this happened, because this person was not true to their word, because you had some unmet expectations? Did that hurt you? And the next thing I know, I am in this public place, and there are tears coming in my face. And if you know me, you know that's just not my MO. I'm not opposed to tears. It's just that I think that there's times and places, and I think, yeah, but anyhow. And so for me, I've had to take a deep breath and get myself together. So I was like, oh, my gosh, I've never even said it out loud that, yes, that hurts. Yes, that is painful for me to have unmet expectations from someone who is so close to me, someone who's in my bloodline. Oh, my gosh, that hurts that I feel that this person has done this injustice to me. I was not able to verbalize that at that time. And so then after the dinner was over and, you know, I went home, like the next day, I was still processing. What is that? Oh, my gosh, you've been carrying this for so long, for 3-4 years now. It's time for you to let that go, because at the same time that this person appears to be moving forward with their life, I'm being stalemated or at least slowed down because I'm holding on to stuff. And the other person has probably no clue that I'm holding on to it. Nor, you know, in my opinion, looking at, do I think that they care that I'm holding on to it? Why am I holding on to it? I don't need to hold on to it. So I decided to wash my hands, like literally go in the bathroom and wash my hands of the situation. You know, and I'm washing my hands. I'm like, I'm doing my hands now. Like I'm really just wiping it off and you know, trying to start with a clean slate as far as that person is concerned, not a clean slate for them to get that close to hurt me again, but a clean slate of, I'm not carrying that. What do I look like carrying that big old bag of stuff? I couldn't even acknowledge or verbalize what was in the bag. So why would I carry the bag? That makes no sense to me. Logically, it doesn't make sense. But what happened was my emotions tried to entangle themselves with my logic, and it was not a good mix. And so the two of them had to get on one accord, and the final decision was wash your hands to be done. Whatever will be, and that person will be okay. Then, because of the type of person I am and the conviction that I get in my heart, you know, if the person does not know that their actions are offensive or offending, and if they have not come to full acknowledgement, because I'm pretty sure if they had acknowledgement, you know, the smart thing to do would be to come to me and say, hey, I see where my behaviors were wrong. Since that person's not at that place, you know, I have to pray that, you know what, whatever's going on in their life that clouds them and keeps them so busy that they cannot focus on the bridges that they've burnt, or at least acknowledge the bridges that they burnt, that whatever is going on in their life, that, you know, that their personal life gets better. How do you do that? I've had to do it so many times for so many people, because sometimes people just are not consciously aware. So if we take it to the spiritual side of things, if we look at it from a Christian standpoint of things, Jesus is on the cross, right? Right. And he says what? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say that, you know what, I forgive you because you don't know what you do. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, how can they know not what they do when they see him on the cross? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And just because we're on Team God and Team Christian and Team Jesus does not mean that these invisible forces are not going to try to get at us. But at the same time, it is our time to be armored up and really combat such things. So I could continue to carry the baggage, but that bag isn't even meant for me to carry. Let me tell you how this works. I had the opportunity recently to order some new furniture. And so I picked out what I wanted online. I went to the store to verify that was exactly what I wanted. That same day I put a deposit down on it. Once that deposit was made, the store clerk went over to the furniture and put my name on it. A week later when it was delivered, I don't know why it took a week, but anyways, a week later when it was delivered, what did it have? It still had my name on it because that was for me. And so just in case anyone else thought that would be theirs, if anyone thought that they could purchase something that was for me, they could not because it said sold, and then it had my name on it. And so the things that are for me, I really believe that they have my name on it. Guilt, shame, not for me, don't have my name on it. Bitterness, grudges,
not for me. Does not have my name on it. Forgiveness up, that has my name on it. Why? Because I have been forgiven. How do I know I've been forgiven? Because I've asked for forgiveness. It's really that simple. Let's not make things extra complicated. Let's not be super, super religious here about the situation. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. It does not get much plainer than one word answers. Ask, seek, knock. Go for it. So when we're going and we're asking for forgiveness from people, let's not make this long story, but we have to back it up with all the emotional baggage that we were carrying, and that's why we hurt you in the first place, because we know, you know, at after the age of 25, you know, that's what I consider an adult. We know that hurt people will hurt people, and so I have to acknowledge the fact that you're just a hurt person, because if you would step out of character of what you profess to be to hurt me, that means there's some hurt within you. And so as I pray for my own healing, I must also pray for your healing. As I seek my own healing, I must also pray that you will seek your own healing, because we cannot continue the circle and the cycle in our community of those of us who profess to be a certain thing, but yet we are still acting like something we're not, because we are influenced by these invisible forces. But we are to be guarded up at the same time, because if you start to guard yourself up, then we can't catch you if your pants hanging down, or the enemy cannot catch you if your pants hanging down. So if we start with the belt of truth, let's be truthful about the situation. You're hurt, you're wounded, and because you're hurt and wounded, you have up certain guards and barriers and protections, and so therefore you may not see things as clearly because something has gotten in your line of vision. That's fine and good. I pray that the scales be removed from your eyes. Why? Because you need to see who's really on your side. You need to see there's more for you than there is against you. But because you are on this defensive track, because that's how you were raised, that's how you had to be brought up, and that's how you choose to continue to be, you feel that someone who's on your side is actually against you because they want your position. Now, play, I don't want what you have. I only want what has my name on it. But because you are so hurt and wounded, and because you've been through X, Y, and Z in your life, you feel a certain way about a situation. So you treat people like they're expendable, when in actuality they're not. But you'll find that out later on in life if you have not been taught that lesson yet. So let's take it from an even deeper on a spiritual level. There are different people who are within the Bible and says, you know, we need to forgive. And Peter comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Up to seven times? No, Jesus said no. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. Who's really keeping track that many kind of picking times that you really going to multiply up? He's at 70 times six, God. Da-da-da-da. No, you're not keeping track that long, because if you are keeping track of someone else's wrongs that long, you have no personal business and you are not being about the Father's business. So what you must do is get yourself back into alignment and stop keeping track of other people's wrongs, because at the same time you're tracking them, guess what? Someone's tracking you. You cannot be focused on what you need to do for you if you're still focused on what so-and-so has done to you. So what do you need to do for you? What do you need to align in your life? How are you walking out your gifts and talents so that they will make room for you? How are you walking out in faith when you are still holding other people accountable for stuff? Then we can take it to the story of the gifts and the talents, because unto every man is measured unto him what he needs. So if he trusts you with one talent and you bury that talent, you can't get mad when he comes back. You're like, you know what? You're a worker of iniquity. I don't even know you. Because even from the beginning, God has proven himself to be a God of multiplication. So if you are not taking what you have in your hand, your household, and in your mind, and expanding upon that in a multiplication type way, not addition, not subtraction, not division, but multiplication, then you're out of order. If what you've been given is not multiplying, you are out of order. So if you're not multiplying your love, your peace, your joy, you're out of order. And if you're out of order, guess what else is going to happen? You're going to continue to carry these emotional bags. So why would you ever want to do that? Why would you ever want to be the one who has to lay down emotional bags before you can get on a cross and do what you need to do for other people? Because that's really what this is about. This is about servitude. This is about forgiveness. This is about letting go. It's about, remember back in the day we used to play the game called Donkey Kong. In order for Donkey Kong to move from one vine to the next vine, he had to let go of some things. So you know what? Your mama hurt you. Okay, cool. I get that. Forgive mama. Because you know what? At that time and that point in her life, she may not have had the tools to be the person that you needed her to be. She was probably in a state of survival based upon the situation that she had been through. Take it back another generation. What happened with her and her mama? Did she even know how to be a mama? And if she knew how to be a mama, don't you think she would have done that? She had the tools and resources to be a better version of herself. Don't you think she would have done that? 9 times out of 10, she probably would have. Did she make a choice? And for her life, she made that choice. Now you as an adult at an age of accountability have to make a choice for your life. Am I really going to continue on this generational cycle of doing things negatively and putting myself out there in situations that I have to be forgiven for while at the same time not forgiving somebody else? Come on, that doesn't even make sense. We're doing the same thing, expecting different results. It's not going to happen. It's not lining up. It's not making any sense, not spiritually, not scientifically. It doesn't make sense to me at all. So what do we got to do? We have to let it go. There are just certain situations and there's certain people in your life you're going to have to just let go of whatever it is you're holding against them, because what's going to happen is somebody's going to end up dying. And then what are you going to do? Oh, I can't forgive so-and-so because they're dead now. You have to let it go. You are replaying that thing in your mind, that situation in your mind, and you're holding them accountable for something they can't even acknowledge they're wrong in. Oh, so-and-so is locked up. You're not even going to them to say what it is, such and such hurt me, da-da-da-da. You're not even being truthful with yourself. Truth is, you have decided that you're going to wear this like a badge. Yes, I'm an abused child. Yes, I'm an alcoholic. Yes, I'm this. And you're wearing it like it's a badge of honor, but you still want the attention from it, and you want someone to call you and hold you and tell you it's going to be okay. At some point in your life, you may have to just suck it up, wipe the tears from your eyes and put one foot in front of the other and just move forward with whatever has happened. Because you know what? Life is worth living and living out loud. And if you're not living out loud, you're living on the sidelines. So who needs to be on the sidelines in their own life? This is the gift that's been given to you, and you are choosing to neglect it. You are choosing to abuse it. You are choosing to misuse it. And you are choosing to mismanage it. And there will be a day that you will have to be accountable for your choices. And before that day comes, why not release some of the emotional baggage? I don't know about the pearly gates. I don't know about St. Peter or any of that. What I do know is that on a day of accountability, I'm not going to have any emotional bags when I'm trying to get in and get to this higher level or whatever else you want to call it. I'm not going to have the emotional bags of unforgiveness, because you know what? I haven't been perfect. Not yet. 39 and holding. Not perfect. Mess up on a regular basis. Mess up. I messed up today. Like, I messed up pretty big today. But you know what? I'm able to say, you know what? I did that. I am who I am. I was who I was. I'm okay with both of them. But you know what? They both need improvement, and so I'm a work in progress. But that's the thing people want to be. You can't judge me. You can't do that. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying, at what point do you want to be held accountable for your choices? Because obviously you talking to yourself and self-checking isn't helping. So maybe if I bring this to you, bring this situation to life, you will be held accountable for what you've chosen to do or not do for yourself or for someone else. At the end of the day, I'm not going to end an episode on forgiveness and not say forgive yourself. Please, by all means, let go of what you need to let go of. End the show and not say don't be accountable. By all means, you need to be accountable for what you've done. You have not lived your life in isolation. You were not raised by wolves. There are some choices that you've made somewhere along the way where it really messed up somebody else, and it messed up their plans and the ripple effects. And you may not know how deep or how wide that hurt is, but just going and saying, you know what, I sense that there's something going on between us. I would like to explore what that is. And if they tell you, you know what, this situation hurt me, acknowledge the fact that they said that, because that takes some courage to really be upfront and honest, especially when people are like, oh, how are you? And, you know, we're made to feel like we have to say, oh, I'm fine, things are good. Reality is there's a lot of broken people. And if you have the scotch tape or if you have the stitches that will help bandage someone else up, why would you hold on to that? Why would you hoard that as broken as you are, as out of order as you are? Why would you hold on to that and deny someone else the opportunity to start healing and mending? And here's the other thing about life. Because the world is round, as you start mending and healing others around you based upon your words of accountability and asking forgiveness and seeking forgiveness, guess what? That's going to draw other people to you to do the exact same thing. And then it will start another ripple effect of positivity, of healing, of wholeness, of mental soundness. Like, some people really just need to hear you acknowledge the role that you had to play in a negative situation. And when we start to put those seeds out there, I promise you there's a harvest on that seed
that seed will come back to you one way, shape, form, or another, and you can keep transitioning, and you can keep growing, and you can keep advancing and moving up in levels in life, and you'll be freer to do that. The thing about it is, as we hold other people accountable, like, yo, she needs to apologize for that, there's still something you need to apologize for. Oh, she needs to make amends for that, there's still something you need to make amends for. So sometimes words aren't enough. Sometimes it requires some action. And we should not be ashamed of that. We should not be afraid of that. We just need to go ahead on and do that. It's just what has to be done. As you reach a certain age and consciousness level about life, whatever has to be done just has to be done. And right now on Couch Conversations, what has to be done is forgiveness. And so whatever soul searching needs to happen with you over the next 24 hours, you know, is my hope, my desire, that you do that. Don't take longer than 24 hours because, you know, you'll forget, life happens, yada, yada, yada. The next week you listen to this and go like, oh, I meant to do that. I really did. I really meant to call up my bro and them and tell them, or I really meant to call up my cousin and tell them, or I really meant to call my mom or my dad or whoever you need to call and tell them, oh, but I forgot. What we don't want to do is put this on the back burner any longer. There is a reason that this show is on at 11 o'clock because this is a deep adult topic. I know it's not love and sex and porn and all that stuff, but it's very important that we handle this. And handle not with kid gloves, but we like get in a ring and do the battle that needs to be done because your life is on the line. Your progress is on the line. Your success is on the line. Your future is on the line because people talk, one, and people hold you accountable to where they met you. And what you don't ever want to do is still be in the same place that people met you 5, 6, 20 years ago. It's not good. It's not good emotionally. It's not good physically. It's not good brand. It's not good look. So what you have to do is constantly be improving. And one of the best ways to improve is to make that call. Stop by and visit. Pop up at the shop. Pop up at the office. Like, yeah, I did it. I'm wrong. I was wrong. And then, you know, make the necessary steps of change and transformation for you, whatever that looks like for you. Make those steps because it's important to not just say the words but to actually put the actions with the words, because that's really how you tell when people are genuine about some things. Because we can all say words, and words sound so good sometimes, and we get caught up on words, but what actions are following them? So make sure you do, you know, you at least lay the foundation for forgiveness to transpire for others in your life. And you might be surprised at who's actually knocking on your door, sending you that text or that call, asking you to do the same thing for them. Why? Because the world is around, and whatever you eventually will come back to you. So I am excited that you guys tuned in, of course, and I really like the way that the show went today. And if it was, you know, if it really touched you, I hope that you share it on social media. Again, we are on Facebook, Google Plus, Twitter. We are at our website, BakiMinistries.com, BakiMinistries.com. So we are available to you as a resource, as a tool. Share the information, because I promise you someone else needs this just as much as you did, if not more. I'm your host, Rev J. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune into Couch Conversations. I'll be back next Wednesday at 11 o'clock, and I hope you will too. Bye-bye.